Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Yo. It's Lean Keys. Oh, yeah, you want to get him?
Go ahead, bro. You got it.
What's going on, everybody? It's Lean Keys, Real Talk, back with another episode, number 55. Lucky number 55. I like that number. It's an odd number, though, so it could be 56. You know, maybe we'll get one more out of this week because we haven't been on. Me and Lee haven't been on as a collective, so maybe we have to get the 56 out before the end of the week, too, if possible for y'all. So we're here tonight. We're going to do a UFC show because I think the people like the UFC shows, man. I feel like it was a vibe at that time. We used to do UFC shows on the reg, so I think we're going to get back to that a little bit. Lee, what's on your mind? What's going on tonight?
Oh, man, episode 55, huh? I want to dedicate this show to Aretha Franklin. May she rest in paradise. She passed away earlier today at the age of 76, the queen of soul. So dedicate this show to Aretha Franklin. But, you know, man, I think one thing about our show, you know, we built our show on UFC. And then our show isn't just about UFC. Sometimes we want to talk about different things. That's one thing about having an unscripted show that, you know, we can just switch up, talk about different things at different times depending on what's going on in the world. And but I guess our fan base loves when we talk UFC. So, you know, we're going to try to cater to our fan base. But at the same time, you know, being that we are two individuals, sometimes we want to talk about different things. And hopefully our audience can ride with us when we do decide to not talk about UFC and maybe talk about music, maybe talk about other sports, maybe talk about life, you know, stuff like that. So we appreciate our listeners and thanks for rocking with us. And let's jump into it, man. What's going on with you, bro? It's been a while.
Yeah, so it's interesting that we didn't get on because last week, we haven't been on this week. Last week, I always call him a guest host. He don't really like when I call him a guest host no more. He said he's a pop-up. So my boy Ronnie was on last week. Yeah, you're a fool for that. Our boy Rodney was on last week, and I forget, we were probably talking about battle rap or something like that. So Lee don't, I think we've said this many times before, Lee don't really understand the battle rap thing, so we don't try to jump him into those talks if he really ain't feeling it. So just like when he be getting into the NHL thing, he be talking about hockey, and
Man, that was one time. Come on,
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, but yeah. So, and you're right though. So that with those two things, comparing that is like, I mean, I watch battle rap pretty consistently. So, I guess versus the amount that Lee probably watches hockey or wants to talk about hockey is probably a lot less. So. Maybe that's a little bit unfair to him, but
yeah,
I don't know,
Yeah, that's kind of unfair, man. I mean, you know what? My thing with the battle rap thing is I see that it's real popular now, but I just can't get into it because, number one, the way they be invading another person's personal space, that's number one. Number two, it's... I just can't get with it, man. I don't know why I really can't get with it, but I see that it's popular, and I see a lot of these cats, you know, they actually getting put on, man, because the two guys that do the ESPN thing, I can't think of their name right now, but I think they started off as battle rappers, and ESPN signed them to do, like, intros to certain games. So I see big things. Some big things can happen for these cats. You know, I'm not hating on them. You know, I wish them all well. It's just something that I can't get into. But you know, we use our show with our pop up host Ronnie to help promote battle rap. You know, to probably you know, wising some folks up to it. So, you know, I'm all for it, you know. I ain't hating.
Yeah, that's the two guys on ESPN, DNA and Kayshawn. Yeah, they do
used
like
to be battle rappers,
like
right?
Well, they still battle rappers, but they also do ESPN. I think they
okay.
do like Sunday Night Football, something like that.
I know they was doing basketball. And I think they do the NFL Today or something, or Monday Night Football. Yeah, I think it's the Monday Night Football they do. Yeah, because ESPN has Monday Night Football. So, yeah, they do the NFL Sunday pregame, and I think they do the Monday Night Football, yeah.
Yeah, it's they're talented. They can. I mean, you went to Wildin' Out. Nick Cannon's Wildin' Out.
Yeah, I watch it.
A good handful of the guys that are on there are battle rappers too. So you was probably liking their stuff and ain't realizing you were supporting battle rap.
Well, I really don't watch Wildin' Out like that, but when I do catch it, you know, so that Wild Style be kind of fly sometimes. You know, they be coming at it a little bit.
Yeah, Wildin' Out was a cool show. I've been watching that since I was really young. That's definitely dope.
I would go see it live if they ever was like to come out here. Because I know like a couple years ago they took the show on the road and they hit like different spots up. So, but you know, they ain't come out here. But if they ever come out here, I'll go check it out. I'll probably take my daughter with me because she loves Wildin' Out.
I'm surprised that they don't go on tour more. I thought that was the thing. I thought they went around. I didn't know. I don't really know. I never looked into it.
Yeah, I think they mostly do L.A. I think they mostly do L.A. And then I think one season they did New York. But for the most part, I think they do L.A.
Oh, yeah. Because I just looked up one thing. I guess they was at TD Garden in Boston. Oh, wait. Oh, man. Yo, this is so crazy. I just looked up Wildin' Out, right?
Uh-huh.
I swear to God, man, I just looked this up. And today's the 16th.
Yep.
Wildin' Out is in Boston. They're coming to Boston next Friday.
Okay, Keys, are you going?
You're funny. I mean, I'll look into it. I mean, my thing is that at an event like that, like, I want to go to it, but I want to have somebody to go with. So I'll have to look into it and see who might want to go to it.
Take your ass with you.
Hey, that's a good idea, bro. He actually, I think he's into Wildin' Out. That's a good idea. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Man, because you know I got the J. Cole show coming up in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be good.
Yep, me and my son going September 10th at the Pepsi Center. We're going to see J. Cole September 28th. I'm thinking about going to see E-40, and then I'm definitely going to see Cat Williams when he come out here. So, yeah, man, then I'm going to UFC in November. I'm going to check that out. I'm hoping Stipe and Curtis Blaydes get made for that card because Dana is hell-bent on not giving him a rematch. So I'm hoping Stipe accepts Curtis Blaydes' challenge. So, yeah, man, I got a big couple of weeks coming up.
That's about to be super dope. I actually just was watching a video with Curtis Blaydes probably about an hour ago, a little over an hour, and they was asking him about, because he's really, really lobbying for the Stipe fight for that card that you're hoping that they get on. He's really pushing to get the Stipe fight. So I don't know. I forget who it was that was interviewing him. Probably Ariel Helwani, because, you know, Ariel Helwani, he interviews everybody. I mean, that guy
yeah.
is like, I get most of my UFC news from Ariel Helwani. That guy, if he hasn't reported it, is it even really a fact? See, I'm confused because Dana White came out recently and was talking a whole mess about Ariel Helwani, saying that nobody tells him anything. So don't, like, follow, like, he's not, like, basically saying, like, he's not, like, a UFC reporter. Like, nobody's talking to him. So, like, his news is basically saying he's fake news. And Dana White, this guy, you should be thanking him. He's the one that, if it wasn't, and now he got the show, he's the one that promotes all your events. You feel me? You should be respecting a guy like that. I mean, you have all these other reporters out here. All these other reporters out here, every time they do a press conference, every one of these reporters, all they ask about is Conor McGregor. Ariel Helwani is the only reporter that actually looks into the other fighters, and he has a pretty thorough, he has a pretty good knowledge of all the fighters. He's the only reporter like that, and he'll ask questions about everybody that's up at that table, not just about when McGregor is coming back. That's all these other reporters are asking questions about. And if you watch the press conferences, you know that's a fact. That's a fact. All the reporters only
I totally agree.
Wins Conor. That's a fact. So Dana White should put some respect on Ariel Helwani because he puts in a lot of work for the UFC. A lot of work.
Yeah. Let me add on to that real quick because you remember Ariel Helwani used to work for the UFC, you know, doing their little pre-fight shows and stuff like that. And then I think I think they said he leaked some information or something that he shouldn't have reported, and I think that's when Dana let him go. And then, you know, he started doing his podcast. And then, you know, Brett Okamoto used to be on ESPN, but now Ariel Helwani is on ESPN. He's like the main UFC guy for you at ESPN. So, and I think when the UFC signed a deal with ESPN televised future fights, I think that's when Dana White has definitely started to warm towards Ariel Helwani because basically Ariel is going to be the main guy for ESPN when UFC start having fights on ESPN. So Dana White had no choice but to start warming up to Ariel Helwani. And plus Ariel Helwani, he's cool with a lot of fighters, man. So you know, he can get interviews that other guys can't get. He recently had on DJ up there, I think a week after DJ lost the belt, or maybe the Monday after DJ lost the belt.
I just watched that one.
Yeah. So, Ariel is a reliable dude, man. I mean, with him and Chael Sonnen, I kind of like the way they team up on the little show they do. And I think Chael, once he's get done with this Bellator stuff, I think the UFC will welcome him back open arms again, you know, as far as doing UFC Tonight and doing other stuff as far as the company goes, because Chael is pretty good also.
Well, first of all, I do hope that they get Ariel back into the I hope they put respect on Ariel Helwani. I don't know what will happen, but, I mean, it is dope that they have the show on ESPN. I didn't realize that the show was – him and Chael were basically like every episode, like it's called
the Ariel Helwani show.
Oh, I thought it was like Ariel and the bad guy or something like that, because that's what I saw a couple times.
I had to check it out because I was listening to it. I listened to a couple segments they had on the day. Well, it was probably from an old show, but I had to check the name out. I thought it was called Ariel Helwani Show, but it might be.
Segment. Maybe that's a segment of the show that they do now and then. I mean, I typed in Ariel and the Bad Guy on Google, and it comes up ESPN.com, Ariel and the Bad Guy, but I don't know what's the name of the show. But I think that's definitely a segment of the show. But yes, Chael, come on. Because I don't know if we see Chael on then. But Chael is dope.
Well, look, man.
Chael, I mean, I'm talking about another man. I just used the word dope. That was kind of weird. But, I mean, Chael Sonnen, he's one of my favorites. I mean, I actually watch Chael Sonnen's his YouTube. I mean, he's constantly doing blogs. Like, I watch what he posts on Chael Sonnen's YouTube page. He posts a lot of content, and he talks about a lot of different stuff going on in the UFC. I mean, his YouTube sounds a lot like our show. When we talk about UFC, he talks about a lot of the same stuff that we talk about, and people are, I mean, he's definitely got quite a following on YouTube.
Chael Sonnen, you've been in jail for a while though. you've been ringing his bell for a while. You've been saying that Chell has been pretty good for a while now. I think probably since we've been doing this show, you've been like, yo, man, Chell's son to be on top of it. So, yeah, you've been on,
oh,
you've been
yeah,
on Team Chell for a minute. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's actually funny because the last show I was – or the last show or two we did talk about the UFC, I was talking about having my boy T-Wood come on the show, which I still – it's still in my mind to pursue that, but I might want to have Chael come on the show. That might actually be the real book right there. How cool
yeah.
would that be? I mean, I would be ecstatic.
You
that,
might
that
get man, you might get starstruck, man. You might get starstruck, man. Then I'd be handed, to go back and forth with Chael. You know, while you sitting there like, man, I can't believe Chael's son is on the show. So yeah, man. Hey, but look, man,
yeah.
Speaking of T-Wood, hey, the UFC did something that me and you have suggested on numerous occasions, and I wanted to get your opinion on this.
Yeah.
So we got the T-Wood versus Darren Till fight, and they have Usman on hold just in case somebody pulls out or somebody gets hurt. Me and you have been saying that they should have a plan B. For a bout, man, I know it's been since the Khabib-Ferguson fight when Ferguson got hurt and pulled out. And we was like, yo, they got to have somebody on standby, la, 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 la. So how you feel about that, man? Better, that was our idea.
I mean, somebody that makes sense, too. I mean, like somebody who is actually a contender. I mean, because the thing that I didn't really like about the Iaquinta and Khabib thing is that now – I mean, I've been a fan of Iaquinta a little bit. Like, he's been on my radar a little bit. You know, I watched his fights, but I just didn't like how he wasn't actually a title contender, and they had the belt be decided versus a guy who's not even barely in the rankings. Like, Iaquinta was like the bottom of the barrel of the division of the rankings, and then the Khabib get the title versus a guy who ain't even a contender. But then now with the
he was like number 9th ranked guy.
Yeah, not even. I think he was like 11 or 12. I don't even know if he was.
Yeah, actually, he was number 12. My bad. He was number 12.
Yeah.
Yep, number 12.
And the champion now is the champion by beating the number 12 guy. So that's just sad, UFC. That's a Jordan crying face over that whole entire event. And the thing is that Usman, this situation is because Usman's actually a title contender, and he's. And I actually looked into this. I've been looking into this during this week, and I'm kind of irritated right now that that this was on my agenda for what I wanted to ask you, and you actually beat me to the punch, and you asked me because I was supposed to ask you because Usman is your guy. I mean, he's my guy too, but that's your guy. Like, I was supposed to – that's a question I was supposed to ask you, and I actually – it flew my mind because I had another thing that I'm going to ask you, but this – the thing I'm going to ask you kind of – toppled that in my mind. So, but I do think it's awesome that Usman, because I've been looking into this, and they're really setting Usman up nice. Like, this guy, I mean, did you know he's getting paid for?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he's getting paid a purse to fight, even if he doesn't end up fighting. Which I do think he's
gonna
end up
fighting. Yeah, he's under contract. Yeah, he's under contract. Basically,
he's gonna
weigh in. A contract. Yep. Everything.
He's
going
to weigh in that day and everything. And I was like, man, Lee's going to be loving this. That's awesome. I mean, he's basically getting a payday to just be ready. I think they should do that a lot more often, have actual title contenders be ready.
Thing for the UFC, especially for your main events, you need to have somebody still in training, still ready to go just in case something happens. And, man, I think they're talking about doing that for the Khabib-Conor fight, but they said it won't be Tony Ferguson because it was something I heard. They said it won't be Tony Ferguson.
I can't remember
what they said, though. Well, Kevin Lee wants to fight on that card. He wants to fight Anthony Pettis on that card. So I don't know who it's going to be, man. I don't know whether or not – man, I know it ain't going to be Nate Diaz, even though I think it should be Nate or maybe Dustin Poirier. Is that the same weight division? Yeah, that is the way. Same
way. Yeah,
class,
I'd like to see them if one of them pull out and Poirier, because I know 100% Poirier is going to make weight. So if they were to one of them guys were to pull out, I definitely would rather them pull Poirier from the Nate Diaz fight and have Nate Diaz go complain about something because he always complaining, and then have Poirier fight whoever didn't pull out of the title fight because I think he's the next one in line anyway.
Yeah. Even though I know it's Poirier is next in line, I wouldn't mind saying Eddie Alvarez probably be put on hold also. So
the thing is Eddie Alvarez
who falls out lost to Dustin Poirier
because unless something would have happened extremely fast between now and then, Eddie Alvarez right now is his contract is up. He's not even under contract with the UFC. I think he's a free agent right now. Because
I think they'll work that out, though.
He only had a few fights left, and that Poirier fight he just did was his last one. So they have to re-sign him between now and then see if they want to make him a fill-in. But if not, then he's not even on the UFC roster.
Yeah, but I'm happy the UFC did this, man. And I hope for all their future main events that they use this strategy. I mean, it just it kind of, like, makes me as a fan – it makes me kind of put my mind at ease that just in case, you know, if for some strange reason Darren Till pulls out, at least we know Whitley will have a qualified guy in the waiting, and everybody has agreed upon it that somebody pulls out, this guy will step in, la 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 la. This guy's still going to be training, you know, he's under contract to make weight, so it's still the guy that's standing. Still has to have some professional decorum about himself also. Man, I just love it, man. I mean, it kind of – I think me and you should get paid for that because I know I've been talking about that for a while. So I kind of think that me and you should get a little paycheck off of that, dog.
Yeah, I think the UFC got to start – we need a part ownership or something like that because we be having all these ideas, and they're always stealing our ideas all the time, so – I think when these views are going up during our UFC shows, somebody from the UFC creative team is biting off all our ideas from Lane Keys. So, UFC, we want a percentage. I think we want a percentage. Yeah, that's how we feel.
Or better yet, just fly us out to one of your big events. Let us set up and do our show. You know, give us cage side seats, maybe the backstage passes. You know, so
we want
to the fighters.
Passes.
Media passes. I mean, hey, man, we're easy to please, Doc. We're easy to please.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? I got my brother, too. He can hook us up with the graphic design. So, you know, we'll have a logo and we can make some banners up, you know, set up that table.
Damn right. Lee and Keys on the road.
Yeah, you know, they're going to have to fly us out to UFC 229 or that Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, man, I was happy about that. That's kind of funny that me and you was gonna talk about the same thing.
Yeah, because it's I mean, the thing about it that Darren Till, he misses weight, so. And he even said somebody interviewed him. He did an interview recently, and he actually said this. I thought that you would laugh. Darren Till actually said that his fight at UFC 228 is not Tyron Woodley. He said
it's making weight. Yeah, I saw that.
It's making weight. You know a guy has a
problem.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Says something like that. That's ridiculous. Come on, man. This guy is so big. I don't even know why he's allowed to fight in that weight class. My cousins, we watch UFC together, and they brought this up the other day. Why is Darren Till such a big guy? He walks around over 200 pounds, and he cuts all the way down to 170 to fight these guys. You're fighting somebody who was 200 pounds 5 minutes ago. No wonder he's knocking everybody out.
And you know, man, I know they're kicking a dead horse right now. But these guys, man, they really have to start considering their health, man. you have to fight closer to your walk-around weight than a preferred weight class. It's just not healthy, man. And I think the state of California passed a law that a fighter can weigh in at one weight, but they're only allowed to gain so much weight between the weigh-in and the fight. And they have to weigh in before the fight. And if they do not make the required weight, they're not allowed to fight in that weight class for that fight. So I kind of like that in California. I don't see that. I see that maybe spreading to Las Vegas and New York, but I don't see that being like a regular thing. But I do like that because it doesn't give a guy or a girl an unfair advantage going into the fight. Let's just say like for when Megan Anderson fought, not Megan Anderson, what's the Mackenzie Dern, when she fought in her last fight, she was already overweight. So just imagine how much weight she put on between the weigh-in and coming into the fight. So I kind of like that rule they have in California, man. I really like that rule. I think it's healthy. It makes for healthy competition, and it doesn't give a fighter an unfair advantage.
Yeah, I agree with that. So another thing that I wanted to bring up to you is I wanted to ask you how you would feel about this. The UFC is, well, not really the UFC, but TMZ, actually, is trying to push this fight right now. Your boy TJ Dillashaw and Henry Cejudo. I watched the video. TMZ got them guys talking trash in each other's face with both their belts on their shoulder. The video is getting out there, so I know once TMZ posts it, things tend to go around quick. I see it right here, 369,000 views, so 369,000 people have the idea of Dillashaw versus Cejudo super fight in their mind. Now, I think the UFC is, see, this is what I thought of earlier today, is that Demetrius Johnson and Stipe, they have a big thing in common here. Because the UFC was probably banking on both of those guys to lose. And now that they have lost, they have been swept under the rug. And there is no talk about either one of those guys getting a rematch. Stipe lost, and within 24 hours, not even 24, within about 2 hours, there was no talk of him in a rematch, no talk of his title reign or anything. No respect, no credit. And same thing with Demetrius Johnson. And now both of the other two outcomes are being pushed pretty heavily. It's just that you don't have Daniel Cormier and the steroid guy, you know, on TMZ with belts on their shoulders. But you have Dillashaw and Cejudo on there. So you think the UFC is going to try to – that'd be a fight the UFC might try to make now?
First of all, the UFC can't sell to – true UFC fans, a super fight between Cejudo and TJ. Because Cejudo, basically, to me, he's not a real champ until he beats DJ again. So, and I still think him having the belt is suspect. So, no, that's not a super fight. Cejudo needs to defend the belt at least once or maybe twice. I would say at least twice, and the second time should be the DJ. And I think TJ needs to either fight Dominique Cruz or he needs to fight Marlon Moraes, even though I prefer to see Marlon Moraes versus TJ, and I'd rather see Cody versus Dominique Cruz. And, you know, I would rather see that fight. This thing with Cejudo is out of control, man. I mean, let's just say me and you regular guys, and they say, yeah, headlining UFC 231 is the super fight between TJ Dillashaw and Henry Cejudo. that doesn't raise the hairs on the back of my neck, because I know TJ gonna beat him. I don't think Cejudo is good. I think Cejudo got lucky. I think Cejudo is part of the UFC conspiracy to get the belt off of DJ. So, nah, man, I'd rather see TJ. Now, if you told me TJ versus Marlon Moraes was the main event for UFC 231, I'm all in on that, because that's what the fight should be. I think Cejudo, maybe he should fight Ian McCall or Benavidez or somebody like that. He need to fight one of these guys that DJ beat up twice, that would never, ever get another title shot as long as DJ was a champion. So let me get Cejudo versus Ian McCall or Cejudo versus Benavidez, and then come holler at me.
Yeah, I think somebody that looks at the statistics, you know, of both of their careers, and you just look at the fact that they fought before and Dillashaw lost a close decision, would easily say that Cruz should be the fight for Dillashaw right now. But if you're really looking at both of their last fights, Cruz should be ashamed of himself for even asking for a title shot. He got destroyed so bad in his last fight against Cody Garbrandt. He got destroyed so bad by Cody Garbrandt.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. The fact that he's asking for a title shot, he should be ashamed of himself as a mixed martial artist to ask for a title shot. Because he knows that he's only feeding off of the fans that would want to see him fight Dillashaw again. But it's not about those fans. It's about the fans that actually know who deserves what, who's been out here proving himself. And Marlon Moraes has been beating guys. The same guys that were supposed to fight Cruz, he's been beating guys that Cruz should have fought in between his time after he got destroyed by Cody Garbrandt, and that between then and now, the time when he's sat on his ass and done nothing for a year. He's been beating the guys that Cruz was supposed to fight in between that time, and Cruz hasn't fought anybody. So I think if he would even be in the title talk, he needs to rematch Cody and beat Cody decisively. Like, he needs to get a unanimous decision, like big win over Cody, which I don't think that he will, because we saw what happened the last time, and Cody just I don't know. Cruz, that's a no for me. That's definitely a no for me. I think TJ should fight. I don't know if there's a clear contender right now, but maybe they have Cejudo go count something or go sit down somewhere, and TJ can fight the winner of maybe Marlon Moraes and Asuncao. Maybe they can. That's not a fight that's booked, but I think it should. I mean, Moraes lost to Asuncao when they fought the first time, so I think a rematch for that number one contender spot would make sense. That, I mean, because you can't give Asuncao the shot right now either. I mean, he got a shot by beating Rob Font. I mean, Rob Font's like number 11 or 12. Why was he fighting? I mean, I get he gave a guy a shot, but you didn't just have like a big victory. You're coming off a victory over a guy you were supposed to beat. That doesn't, to me, if you look at both of their last fights, then Moraes should have a title shot because he knocked out Jimmy Rivera in like 10 seconds or something like that. That's the kind of fight that gives you a title shot. So I think Moraes is probably the closest one to the title shot based on what he's actually done, the work he's actually put in. So I think Moraes should rematch Asuncao and let TJ take a couple months off and then have him fight the winner of that. Because Dillashaw has fought Asuncao once or twice, and they could run that back too. Both of the matches would be good, would be a draw for the fans.
Yeah. I'm with you on this one. I knew Dominique Cruz would do this. I knew that if TJ beat Cody, that all of a sudden he would heal up and he would challenge Cody, because not one time did he ever mention fighting Cody Garbrandt again. I knew he would do this, man. And it's like, for some certain reason, it's like he doesn't have any respect for TJ, and I think he just feels that he can beat TJ. But I don't think he beat TJ the first time. I thought TJ won that fight. So, I want Moraes to get the shot, man. I think Asuncao, he has won some fights here, won some fights there, but he really isn't exciting, man. He isn't exciting, and I know that not all fighters are supposed to be exciting, but I think when you're fighting for the belt, it got to be something there that want to draw the fan in, and he just doesn't add that for some strange reason. But I think if Asuncao can win his next fight, depending on who he fights, then I'm definitely in for him being, you know, fighting for the belt. But Dominique Cruz, man, I knew he would do that, man, because it's just that he got dominated so bad by Cody. And then he got hurt when he supposed to fight Jimmy Rivera. So as a commentator and as a guy that he does TV shows for the UFC, he should know that he should have been calling out Marlon Moraes. He should know that calling out Marlon Moraes and have a fight with him to see who's the number one contender makes better sense than him trying to get a title shot against TJ. So, but I guess he got butt hurt when TJ said that he's the greatest bantamweight champion of all time, and I think that rubbed Dominique Cruz the wrong way.
Yeah, Dominic Cruz, that gets the Jordan crying face over Dominic Cruz, because that guy is sad to me, and he's, that's just sad. I have nothing else to say there. Something else that I wanted to ask you about also was that I saw... Well, I've been seeing videos of him training, and I saw another one today. Your boy John Jones, man, he's looking good in these training videos. He looks big. He looks bigger than, I mean, he's always been big, and he's tall. I mean, he's got, like, a long reach, but, I mean, I'm talking about, like, he put some weight on, too. I don't know if he's going to come back at heavyweight at this point. He's looking big. And I heard, wait, hold on. I know you're about to respond. And this is gonna top the cherry on top. So he's in there training, all right? So he's motivated, putting in work. He looks like he put some weight on, so possibly he's back in heavyweight, right? So that's exciting. But then on top of that, you know these guys before they are gonna have a fight, they gotta jump into the USADA testing pool, and they gotta get cleared by USADA to be able to fight. Now, USADA released a list of fighters that have recently been in the testing pool. Your boy John Jones is on that list. He has had his first test in, you know, months and months with USADA. You know what that means? There could be a John Jones fight announcement coming very soon. And I believe I said something like this on the last show. Or did we say it? Did I say it? Oh, no. I told you, because I was watching Chael Sonnen in the Brendan Schaub show, Below the Belt with Brendan Schaub. He said it about, because they don't have really a main event for the Madison Square Garden, Brendan Schaub was saying John Jones.
Alexander Gustafson.
John Jones at?
Versus John Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, so they were saying John Jones should fight Gustafson for the interim lightweight belt and light heavyweight belt. And then Chael Sonnen made the same suggestion on his show. So they both kind of predicted the same thing. And then I pitched that to Lee. I thought it was on the show. Maybe we was on the phone. And I pitched that to Lee, and we thought that was a good idea. And then the next news I see today is that John Jones has been tested by USADA. So that means that it could come to fruition. And maybe the UFC is holding out for another big announcement, the UFC 230 main event, John Jones. What do you think about it?
I think that may be in the works because why would they pull Gustafson off for 229 instead of just giving him another opponent?
220.
So I'm thinking
wait,
that
it was 229. No,
it's the one that. No. It's the one that T Wood is fighting on. What's that? 229. Which one is that?
228.
Yeah, 228.
Yeah,
that's the one in LA,
with.
Right? I think that's the
not,
one in LA.
No, no. Nah, 228 is in Dallas, Texas.
Okay. Well, it's the one that was supposed to have been in LA. That's the one that's in LA, and that's the one that Gustafson was supposed to fight on. So, basically, I think that's why the UFC probably pulled him off of that, is because they still need a main event for MSG. And with John back in the testing pool, basically, I think that that makes him basically eligible to fight probably towards the – I think it's towards the end of the year, though, man. I don't think they could get him cleared by MSG, but that would be a great fight to have him fight Gustafson. And to me, that only solidifies DC vacating the light heavyweight belt because he doesn't want to fight either one of those guys. So, basically, DC will be – basically had to put his foot to the fire on whether or not he's going to defend or vacate, and I think he will vacate instead of defend the belt against either John Jones or Gustafson. I think he's looking for a cake fight against Brock Lesnar, which I still think the UFC is doing Stipe kind of dirty. Dana White came out and said that Stipe knew that whoever won the fight between him and Cormier was going to get the Brock Lesnar fight. But at the same time, I think you are basically putting a fight together for a guy that doesn't even deserve it. And then Dana White had the nerve to say that Stipe always talking about we disrespecting him, but we're not disrespecting him. He knew this going into the fight. But back to Jones and Gustafson, man, I would love to see this fight, especially with something on the line as far as the interim belt, which to me would end up becoming the real champ. And if one of them was to become the interim champ, I would respect that guy more than I respect DC because they was willing to put it on the line and fight each other. Because their first fight was a classic, and, you know, John has went through his things, and Gustafson, you know, he's been knocked out by Rumble, and, you know, he done came back against, with wins against Glover Teixeira, and I think he fought somebody else. And, man, I would love that fight. I would love that fight with him, with John Jones and Gustafson. And, yeah, man, John has actually put on muscle weight. Because, you remember, John used to be skinny, man. He was really, really skinny. And I think he said something to the fact that with his frame, he had to put some muscle on his frame because it will make his career last a little longer, and it'll make it for an easier transition when and if he decides to go at the heavyweight. So I hope what Brendan Schaub and what Chael Sonnen are reporting, or, you know, that are pronosticating is going to come true, because I think that'll be an exciting main event for John, the UFC, and Alexander and Gustafson. And MSG deserves to have a good fight, a good fight. And I think both guys will make weight. I think both guys will leave it in the cage, even though kind of fearful of John having ring rust. Come on, UFC, let's make this happen.
Man, but is ring rust really a thing? Is ring rust really a thing for John Jones? Because actually, I think it was, I forget who it was I was watching the other day. I think it was Brendan Schaub might have said this. Is ring rust really a thing for John Jones? It doesn't matter because the last two times he returned, we could have said he had ring rust. And so because it had been a little bit since he came back when he fought old Vince St. Preux for that was for the interim light heavyweight belt. Remember he fought old Vince St. Preux? And that was off a long layoff before.
Yeah, but he looked rusty to me in that fight. He didn't look good in that fight to me. I mean, he won the fight, but he didn't look good. Yeah, but I think, but you got to remember, Ovince broke his arm in that fight too. I think Ovince broke his left arm or his right arm during that fight. So, I mean, he won the fight, but he just didn't look like John Jones. I think if he would have fought DC that night, that he came back against Ovince St. Preux, I think he would have lost. He couldn't have had that performance against DC.
But then, so it was another long layoff after that, and.
And that, he came back and fought DC and knocked DC out.
Yeah, so what I'm just saying, I mean, that was just last summer. So what's the difference now if he comes back, you know, a little over a year after that off a knockout performance, a little over a year after, and then fights for an interim belt? You don't think you wouldn't have confidence in him?
I will always have confidence in John Jones, only because of his talent. He's probably the most talented guy we've seen in the octagon ever. And I just think it'll probably take him maybe a round or two, maybe to get into the swing of things. But finding a guy like Gustin, you got a round or two to waste. Because, I mean, Alex really hasn't fought that much either, though. You know,
yeah,
his
really
last fight was,
much.
Yeah, he really ain't fought that much either, though. So, you know, I would always, regardless of who John was fighting, I would always pick him to win. Even with this layoff, I would still think he would beat Gustafson. I would still pick him to beat Gustafson. And then I would pick him probably to move up to heavyweight to beat the winner of the Brock Lesnar-Daniel Cormier fight. Even though I think Cormier wouldn't fight again after he beat Lesnar, I think he would retire. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with him. I would pick John. I do believe in ring rust. I probably think it'll probably take him a round or two to get in the swing of things, even though against a guy as talented as Gustafson, you really don't have a ring of a round or two to get to figure it out inside the octagon. So,
I'm happy to see that things are working out for him. When I seen the training videos, and then a couple of days later, I seen more training videos, and they were saying John Jones is looking big. And then when I really seen him, I was like, damn, look at his shoulders. I was like, this guy definitely had to put on some muscle. He's looking, you know, significantly bigger. So I'm happy for him. I hope he does come back and save that Madison Square Garden card, because if not for him, I really don't know who else could come in and make a main event at this point. Make it main event worthy.
But look, check this out, though. I know this is going to make you happy, though. How about your boy George St. Pierre says he wants to fight the winner of the Conor McGregor Khabib fight? How you feel about that?
That don't make me happy. That don't make me happy.
Why doesn't it make you happy?
You were saying that in the opposite way. You were saying that like it was opposite day. You were saying that.
Why doesn't that make you happy?
I was going to be frustrated. Well, because George St. Pierre just be bouncing around wanting to fight people for belts. He's not even in the lightweight division. Just like he wasn't in middleweight either. I mean, that was cool just because I hadn't seen him in 4 years, but he just came, did a title fight. I thought he was going to stay at middleweight and fight Will Hurt and this and that. Because that division, you know, had a couple guys that I could have pictured him fighting. But then he drops that belt, and then he wants to go fight for another belt at lightweight. Like, that's just completely random. He just want to fight for the big money fights and for belts. I mean, I get that he's fighting for his legacy, but, and plus, I don't even know if he can make 155. That's another thing. I mean, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see him fight the winner of that because I really don't care. I mean, McGregor versus GSP, I mean, yeah, it would be cool. Of course I would watch it. I mean, I'd be excited if they booked it, but, like, I don't think it makes any sense. Like, it wouldn't be – it's not really something that I would really be calling for. I mean, I'd settle for it. I'd watch it. I'd settle for it, but I wouldn't be calling for it because it's just a completely random match. GSP is big, man. He just fought at 185. He's going to go down and fight these smaller guys in lightweight division.
Man, you sound like Debbie Downer right now, man. First of all, I would love to see the matchup between him and Conor McGregor. I think that fight would be awesome. You will have GSP and his relentless takedown, smothering you on the mat style against Conor McGregor with that left hand and that jab, and you will probably have probably two of the most popular UFC fighters to date in the octagon at one time, one still in their prime and one probably in and out of his prime, depending on, you know, what his performance looks like. And I would think that fight will probably go down as probably one of the most hyped UFC fights of all time. And if it lived up to the billing, it will be a class. It'll be a good matchup. I would rather see them fight at a catch weight rather than GSP trying to come down to 155. But at the same time, I would love it. I would even love to see GSP fight Khabib, because Khabib is so used to taking people down that I think against GSP, he'd be the one getting took down, and he'd be the one trying to fight to get back to his feet. So I think either matchup would be a good fight for GSP, but I just don't see him making 155. I think it'll probably have to be a catchweight fight, maybe 165, maybe 170, something like that. So, but I like it, man. I would definitely sign up to watch that fight.
Yeah, we'll see. The funny part about this whole thing is that I just want to point out to everybody that there's context clues in what Lee just said, and he don't even realize that it's there. And I just pointed it out because I listen to what people say, and I heard what you said. And if everybody everybody and anybody who just heard that knows that Lee just said wants to fight the winner of Khabib and McGregor. And now, what did he say right after that? He started talking about.
I would love to see GSP versus McGregor.
Yeah. So basically, everybody, Lee just made his prediction without even predicting it, and he just insinuated to everybody that he has McGregor beating Khabib. Because he also said that he would like to see GSP versus Khabib, but notice he said that second. So that would be the plan B option, because he's saying, if Khabib can pull it off, if he's skilled enough to pull it off, then maybe we'll see him fight GSP. And know what's funny about it? Not even GSP said he wanted to fight the winner, but I heard that he wasn't interested in fighting Khabib, though. So so GSP also gave his prediction without even really giving a prediction. He also just told everybody that if Khabib can win, I wouldn't even want to fight him. He want to fight McGregor because he knows McGregor, hey, I ain't going to finish that one, because Lee just already stated it. He already just said what everybody wanted to hear. So thank you for that prediction, Lee. When the card comes around, I'll have you make another prediction and see if your mind is in the same place. But I think everybody is happy that you just did a flash forward to that card and gave your main event prediction. So that was good.
Man,
everybody appreciated
that. Man, you really just steered that train all the way off the track based on one statement. But at the same time, as a fan, I would love to see GSP versus Conor McGregor. But I would rather say it at a catch weight versus GSP trying to make 155. So, yeah, I would love to see that.
Well, if it did happen, I think the interesting part about it for McGregor would be this, is that George St. Pierre, you know, not everybody might know this. I mean, it's kind of public knowledge, but, like, you might not know it at the same time. George St. Pierre is not only, like, as legendary as he is, he also the most strikes landed in all of UFC history. He is the number one fighter, most strikes. I think it's most significant strikes. Yeah, I think it's most significant strikes landed in UFC history, by far. Like, by far. I know, I think DJ is up there. Like, I think he's up there. Some other random guy, Frankie Edgar is up there. Like, top five, like, most significant strikes landed. So, I mean, and that's what's crazy, because Frankie's never won. Wait, no, Frankie was a lightweight champion. Okay. So, yeah, there's a couple guys out there, but GSP is the number one most significant strikes landed in UFC history. So, versus McGregor, you know, he's a knockout artist himself, and he's an excellent striker too. So, the way that they'd be able to sell that fight, you know, that is just one feature of it that would be interesting. And there'd be many more, but it'd also be something of intrigue to McGregor to want to. I mean, that's the. It's funny because you have a guy with GSP style who's also statistically the best striker in UFC history. Technically, I mean, statistically the best striker in UFC history. He's not recognized as it, but I mean, if you really go by the numbers, what other way do you prove that?
I tell you, go watch the St. Pierre versus Josh Koscheck fight. He probably landed a million punches on Koscheck's eye in just that fight alone. I would have never guessed that he had the most significant strikes in UFC history. I would have never guessed that because his fighting style, every time you see him, he's taking somebody down. So I would have never guessed that. I thought it would have been somebody far as somebody that's a heavy striker. But you know, man, GSP is a big draw, man. Especially, like, if you can get him up in Canada or somewhere, if you can get him to fight in, like, Montreal or something, man, they'll sell that place out, man. I mean, he'll sell out everywhere he go, though. So especially if he was a fighter like New York and MSG or Barclays or something like that. So I would be excited to see him come back, and I would want to see him come back. Actually, I'm going to say this. I'm going to make Keys very, very happy right now. GSP, if you're listening, bro, if Tyron Woodley beats Darren Till, you need to go back to your original weight class and fight Tyron Woodley. I think that's the fight that people want to see, because that is your original weight class. You went out and beat a Michael Bisping that I think you should have beaten. I think if you were to go down to fight a smaller guy, it's going to be said that you should beat him because you're the bigger man. So, GSP, your next fight should be against Tyron Woodley if he beats Darren Till.
So in between that time, he would have to decide, because you have 228. So Woodley beats Till at 228, and then after that, McGregor could be 229. So both of those winners would be. Both of those talks would be established, like, back-to-back. So he would have, like, both of those fights presented at the same time.
Well.
Yeah, that's an interesting
thing. The UFC will have to make it work. They would either have to put it on the year-end show or the first fight card in 2019. So that's just the way it will have to be.
Do it in Boston in January.
So I would be all in on that fight. I think GSP going down to 155 is going to be predicted that he should beat the smaller guy. And, you know, if he did fight Conor or Khabib at 170, I think that would be a big fight for him. But I think the rightful fight for him would be to fight Tyron Woodley if Tyron Woodley gets past Darren Till. That would be the fight I would like to see. And I would actually be looking forward to seeing how T-Wood will perform against a guy of George St. Pierre's skills and status because these guys that he's been fighting, Damian Myers, Wonderboy, you know, them guys that are basically boring fighters. I mean, Lawler, he got him up out of there, caught him with a shot. So, you know, we really don't know how that would have played off if it would have went later in the fight. I think Darren Till is a guy that he's going to give Woodley a test. But I think Woodley will find a way to beat him with his wrestling and with his power. So I'm 85% in on GSP versus Woodley as GSP's next fight instead of GSP versus the winner McGregor Khabib.
Well, there you have it. That's a good way to end the show right there. God damn. So, you know, it's been a good one tonight. We talk all UFC stuff, and I always enjoy those shows. And we hope to do more of these and maybe get one more in before the week is out. So, Lee, if you have any last things you want to pitch to the people, go ahead, bro.
You know, thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks to our overseas audience. We really appreciate you guys tuning in. Once again, our show was founded on UFC conversation. But we do like to talk about other things. We appreciate your support. Episode 55, dedicated to Aretha Franklin. She passed away today at the age of 76, the Queen of Soul, as she's resting in paradise. Everybody be safe. Everybody have a nice evening. Love each other in this difficult time in our world we live in. Try to love each other. Stay positive.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Everything. I agree with everything that we just said. Stay positive. And my mother was sad, and Aretha Franklin is one of her favorites. So definitely rest in peace to Aretha Franklin. You know, my family was feeling that one today. You know, we grew up listening to Aretha. You know, my mother always playing it, and then my grandmother was big into Aretha Franklin as well. So rest in peace, Aretha Franklin. And everybody stay positive and love each other as much as you can. And support the UFC. Everybody, thank you for listening. It's been a good one. Lee and Keys, Real Talk, episode 55. If you want to call in and talk with us, the number is 917-889-3251. I always keep it down below and actually right across in the bio description every time. Call up and talk with your host. And after that, over and out. Lee and Keys, have a good night.
Peace.